The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did Jesus homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. The Gospel of the Lord. There was an old man who had a bad reputation around town. He lived a wild life, loose life, carousing, gambling, and too much in love with the bottle. When he died, his pastor, who was very strict and somewhat of a tyrant, insisted he be buried outside the fence of the church's cemetery because he felt that the consecrated ground inside the fence was only for good, upstanding Catholics. Years later, the priest was long gone, and the man's daughter came to pay her respects. She couldn't find the grave outside the fence. She went over to the caretaker and asked him what had happened to her father's grave. The caretaker took the man's daughter to a grave inside the fence. The woman, somewhat confused, said, "Why did you move my father's grave?" The caretaker smiled and said, "We didn't move your father's grave, we moved the fence." And that's what this gospel is all about. Today, Jesus tells us he's moved the fence. Jesus goes outside the fence that the Jews had built around their religion and their beliefs. For the first time now, he's out there in enemy territory. You see, the cities of Tyre and Sidon are actually in Lebanon. And its people were called the Canaanites. They were a pagan people that worshiped Baal. They were natural enemies of the Jews. Canaanites hated Jews, and Jews hated Canaanites. I don't know what the Canaanites called the Jews, but the Jews called the Canaanites the dogs. But pain sometimes has a way of overcoming old resentments. Here's a woman we hear about who's in pain. She's in danger of losing her daughter. The woman is terrified. She's tried everything she could think of to help her daughter, but nothing's worked. Her own people have given up on her, but now she hears about this Jewish stranger who heals. For some unknown reason, he's going to be passing through her town. If she's seen talking to him, she'll be in trouble. She'll be looked upon as a traitor to her people. "But you don't understand," she'd say. "This guy is my only chance. And if he leaves without helping me, my daughter's surely going to die." This gospel wants to make no mistake about her. This is a gutsy woman. She's one tough mama, and Jesus can spot that in her right away. She forcefully manages a way to meet Jesus. Both she and Jesus know what this meeting's all about. It's about life and death. And for them, a little thing like old hatred between two peoples isn't going to stand in their way of doing business. The woman makes her move. She throws herself at Jesus' feet. She begs for her daughter's healing. Jesus knows good and well that she's not leaving the scene without getting what she came for. And he knows good and well that her request is going to be granted, but not without first seeing what she's really made of. So Jesus answers her, saying, "You want healing for your child, but what about all the hatred between our peoples and the distrust? What about that? My healings are reserved for the children of Israel, not for you people in Lebanon. Don't you know what we Jews sometimes call you people? We call you the dogs." She says, "Well, maybe we're the dogs, and you Jews may be the rightful children, but even us dogs can catch the scraps that fall from the children's table." Jesus, I ain't leaving here without getting my scraps. And the woman got what she came for. Her daughter was healed. Humility is made up of two things. The first is knowing what it is you cannot do. And the second is asking for the help you need to get it done. Some people might say, this woman in the gospel, well, she sounds pretty arrogant. She sounds like she's demanding a miracle, like she's really got some nerve. But according to the definition that I just gave, she's really being very humble. She knows what she cannot do. She can't save her daughter. And so, motivated by love, she comes to the one who can help. We are reminded in Holy Scripture, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. I wonder if we really believe that. Do we believe that God is present when we're in the storm? What about the people in Maui? Were they believing in that? It's tough to believe when you're in the storm. Someone once answered that question, do we really believe it? They said, yes, I believe, but sometimes I don't feel worthy to approach God with my prayers. I'm not that good a person. Why would he listen to me? Where do you think that kind of thought came from? Where does it come from? That thought that tells you that you're not worthy, it's the father of lies, Satan himself, that wants you to believe that there's a great fence to climb over if you're ever going to try and reach God. That's nothing more than a big lie. The very one who calls us friend suffered excruciating pain, shed his blood, and was crucified to let us know that we are the very children of God. He is our Father, and we are indeed worthy. Jesus wants us to know him as friend, true friend. The great St. Alphonsus of Liguori has been quoted as having said, "Acquire the habit of speaking to God as if you were alone with him and with confidence and love as to the dearest and most loving of friends." Jesus desires us to know him as best friend, and best friends always stay in touch. Best friends love each other. Best friends trust each other. You know, sometimes we're taught to be very formal in our prayers to approaching the Lord and for asking help. And we're led to be somewhat nervous when we do that, when we're very careful about what we want to say to God, like walking on eggshells. But if I've learned anything in my 81 years of life, if I've learned anything, it's that God meets us wherever we are. And when we cut through the formality, when we get down to really asking for what we want and what we need in our own language, in our own humble way, for the need, the help that we need, when we have moved the fence of caring about what other people think and what it looks like, and when we remove that fence of doubt, that's when change happens. That's when we can get healed. Jesus says to the woman, "Your faith has saved you." Where did she put her trust? Where did she put her trust? We must remove the fence that keeps us from approaching Christ as our friend. God is everything or he's nothing. My brothers and sisters, when it comes to encountering Jesus Christ, when it comes to approaching him, we need to move the fence. We need to give him everything we've got. And maybe that's an easy thing for those who are in desperation. The fact is that God meets us right where we are. And when we want him badly enough, we'll find he's there. But that means making a change in how we approach him. Move the fence. Make God real. Talk to him just like you would a friend. And if he isn't yet your friend, then remember this gospel story and talk to him anyway. Be bold. Jesus did not go through all that he had gone through just to leave us the scraps on his table. Your friend came to give you life, to give you himself, so that you never have to leave his table empty.